All in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois. Today's broadcast is made possible in part by the U of I's Center for Advanced Study, whose forum on critical issues presents a public forum on immigration, one of today's most contentious policy issues, on Friday, January 27th at 4 p.m. at the Levis Faculty Center on the U of I campus. For more information, go to www.cas.uiuc.edu.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL Urbana. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in. Millions of Americans are eligible to participate in Medicare's new prescription drug benefit. More than 250 private companies are offering coverage, and the plans they offer come in different flavors. According to Consumer Reports magazine, consumers trying to compare plans may be confronted with 40 or 50 or even 60 plans, depending on where they live. All these choices make the process of selecting a plan bewildering. On the program today, we're going to take a look at Medicare Part D. Our guest is award-winning investigative journalist Trudy Lieberman. She is the director of the Center for Consumer Health Choices at Consumers Union. Her reporting and writing for Consumer Reports focuses on health insurance, health care financing, and health coverage for the elderly. Listeners, I invite your phone calls this afternoon about Medicare's prescription drug benefit for Trudy Lieberman. Join us with your questions and comments. Here are the telephone numbers in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-WILL. Let me tell you a bit more about our guest. Trudy Lieberman's work has been honored with many awards, including 2 National Magazine Awards and 10 National Press Club Awards. In addition to her work for Consumers Union, she is a contributing editor for Columbia Journalism Review, and she also contributes to The Nation. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Trudy, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Would you, first of all, offer us a general overview of what Consumers Union is hearing from consumers about their experiences trying to select a Medicare prescription drug plan?
I think the what I've heard from the advocacy community, people, this is like the Medicare Rights Center in New York and the Center for Medicare Advocacy in Washington, they are hearing that particularly low-income consumers are having a great deal of difficulty, and what we're finding is that many of these people who stand to benefit the most from this plan are really not signing up. We're also hearing that many of these people tried to get their prescriptions filled and could not because of paperwork problems with the health plans and perhaps Medicare as well. And so there's been a lot of stumbling going on in the implementation of this much-heralded drug benefit.
Why has the program come to be so chaotic?
Well, I think we have to really look at the design of the program. It was never designed to be consumer-friendly the way the rest of Medicare is designed. And And I think we have to take a step back and look at Medicare in general, which is a social insurance program. Everybody's eligible. Everybody's paid into the program. While the program has never been really simple to understand, people generally got it that they were entitled to certain benefits, hospital coverage, doctor coverage, lab coverage, and so forth. Of course, this was subject to some deductibles and a little bit of cost sharing, and most people bought Medigap policies to cover those gaps. With the drug benefit, Congress decided that it was going to privatize the benefit. And instead of the government offering the benefit and making the payments to providers, it was going to be private companies. So what we have instead is some 260 sellers out there in the marketplace trying to sell their version of a drug benefit. Now, the government has come up with a blueprint, and these 260 sellers have to kind of follow the blueprint. But the blueprint gives them a lot of latitude for designing the benefit. So there's all kinds of combinations of deductibles and coinsurance and formularies and so forth and premiums that make it very difficult for consumers to understand.
Yeah. What do you think the possibility is that Congress will come back to this issue and try and clean it up?
Probably not great. I was at a meeting in Washington last week, and the bet is that they will not come back and try to deal with this. There will be some legislators who will want to come back and try to standardize the benefits, standardize the names these policies use. So that's another thing that we see as a big problem, that a plan that might be called an enhanced plan at one company is basically a standard plan at another. So there's really no way that consumers can kind of make good judgments about these plans. There's another group of legislators who probably will not want to open this up because they fear that if they do, they could lose the whole benefit in the first place because the program has been underpriced from the get-go, and this didn't come to light until after the program was passed. So there's a lot of different competing political interests that will make it very difficult to clean it up.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the basics of what we have at the moment, Medicare Part D. Who's eligible?
Anybody on Medicare is eligible for this benefit. And for most people, it's probably a reasonable benefit if you can wade through all of the sales material and so forth, and the web tool of the government to try to find the good plan for you. We used a consulting actuary who found that anyone with annual drug expenses over $750 would clearly benefit from the plan. If your expenses are less than $750, of course, it's a gamble. You have to decide whether or not you may be healthy today, but you might not be healthy tomorrow, and that could mean that you're going to have to buy a plan at some point. And I should add that the law has written a penalty into the plan, and people have until May 15th of this year to sign up. If they don't, then they start to have a penalty for the time that they are not in this market, and that penalty grows over time. So that was kind of an incentive to get people to sign up.
Are consumers being given enough time to make this decision?
Well, some legislators say yes and some say no. Certainly people have until the 15th of May to make a decision before beginning to incur the penalty. And I think many people probably can make a decision if they know how to use the web tool, or they can get family or friends or grandchildren or somebody to help them kind of work through all this. The tool is somewhat complicated, and it takes a fair amount of time to kind of understand it. And then there is no way that a person can look at all 40 or 50 options in a county. You might be able to narrow down your range to maybe 5 or 8 or 10 plans and look at those and come up with the plan that'll work best for you, given the drugs you take, but it's probably impossible to look at all of them.
Yeah. The question, should you join a Medicare drug plan, is where we begin. Where do we go from there? How do we get the answer to that first question?
Whether or not you should join?
Yeah.
First of all, if you have a low income, you probably should join. These people will get substantial benefit from this benefit. There are strict income limits, certainly. Incomes below $1,077, $1,444 for a couple and certain cash assets will pay no premium and no deductible and only very small co-payments. But those are pretty low incomes. Those people should definitely consider joining. If you have coverage under a Medigap plan, also called a Medicare supplement policy, it's most likely that you will not have drug coverage. Certainly plans H, I, and J do have drug coverage, but it's not as good as the coverage you would get under Medicare Part D. So just about everybody with a Medicare supplement plan ought to think about this. Again, as I said, if your annual drug expenses are more than $750, you definitely should join one of these plans.
Mm-hmm.
If your expenses are less than $750 and your health is good, you might want to wait, knowing that if you delay that you will have to incur this penalty somewhere down the road. If you belong to a Medicare HMO, as many people do, they probably are already enrolled in Part D because most of these HMOs offer drug coverage to begin with. And what happened when January 1st rolled around was that these HMOs just automatically enrolled their members in this new Part D plan. And many members might be finding that that benefit is more generous, but we've also heard from some readers that the benefit is really going to cost them a whole lot more than it did before. So I think it's kind of a mixed bag for those kind of people, but they have no choice. If you are in an HMO, you have to take the Part D plan that the HMO offers to you.
Yeah. And what if the answer is no? No if you have a retiree policy, for example, that covers medications?
If you have a retiree policy that offers credit, what's called creditable coverage, you probably do not want to get one of these policies because you are already covered.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a retiree policy that is not equivalent to Medicare's Part D, then you may want to consider that.
Yeah. As I mentioned, and as we've mentioned here this afternoon, the plans come in different flavors, if you will. What does that mean? What are the flavors?
Well, there are basically three different kinds of plans. There's the standard plan, which follows the government blueprint exactly. And I'll just briefly go over that. It means that there is a deductible of $250 and 25% coinsurance. And that means that you will have to pay 25% of every prescription that you fill. The standard plans do not offer any coverage in the so-called donut hole. And that is the part of the benefit in which there is no coverage offered at all. And this is where we get into sort of the convoluted way the benefit was designed. The coverage goes up to $2,250, and then after that people hit the donut hole until they reach another mark, and then after that there's catastrophic coverage. So there is a fair amount of coverage in there in which there is no drug coverage, and that's called the donut hole. The second kind of plan is called an equivalent or an alternative plan.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to, I hear you have a tickle or something. You want to take a moment and I'll reintroduce the program and you, and then we'll get back to equivalent or alternative plans.
Okay.
Our guest this afternoon is award-winning investigative journalist Trudy Lieberman. She is director of the Center for Consumer Health Choices at Consumers Union. Her reporting and writing for Consumer Reports focuses on health insurance, health care financing, and health coverage for the elderly. This afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine, we're talking about Medicare's prescription drug benefit, Medicare Part D. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with your questions, comments, also invited, 333-9455. That's the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL and 800-222-WILL. Let's go back now to Trudy and equivalent or alternative plans, the second flavor.
Okay, these plans have no deductible or one lower than $250. And instead of paying a percentage of the expense, you pay a flat amount for each prescription, and that is called the copayment. And those copayments can be anything. For generic drugs, the copayments are relatively low. They might be $10 or less. If it's a brand name drug, they could be $60, $70, and sometimes higher. So it just depends what the insurer wants to do. And this is where consumers will see a great deal of variation. Seniors who join an equivalent or an alternative plan will often find what we call three or four drug tiers. And there will be different copayments required in each one of these tiers. Again, the generic drugs make up the first tier with very low copayments. The second tier usually includes preferred brand drugs. These require higher copayments, and they might go up to $40 or more. And then the next highest level is called the non-preferred brand drugs. These come with the highest copayments of all, and they can be $100 or more at some of the plans. And the fourth tier are what is called specialty drugs, and these are usually very expensive drugs, such as drugs for immune suppressant, so forth. In that tier, seniors generally pay 25% of each drug.
Okay, and then we've got one more to talk about.
Right. The enhanced plan is what I like to call the Cadillac of the drug plans. And many of these plans have no deductible or a very low deductible and low copayments in those tiers, drug tiers that I just described. These plans might appeal to around 39 or 40% of all beneficiaries whose total prescription drug expenses fall between $2,250 and $5,100, and that's the donut hole that I described earlier. And many of these enhanced plans have coverage in that donut hole, but be careful, they may only have coverage for generic drugs, not brand name drugs.
Okay. So then what we want to do next, I suppose, is take a look at the tiers within the plans and where the holes are, and then say, I can live with that, I can't live with that. I can live with this, I can't live with that. And
exactly.
then narrow that huge number down to, you know, something that's reasonable, something that you can deal with, 10, 15 plans, which still seems awfully cumbersome.
I would say 10 or 15 is probably too many for most people
to
look at.
Yeah.
A lot of the consumer decision research that's being conducted has found that people can really only process a few variables at a time, like maybe three or four or five different items at once. So when you start talking 15 plans, you're talking about a lot of confusion.
Yeah, yeah. The article on Medicare Part D in the February issue of Consumer Reports also says some folks might want to look at joining a Medicare HMO or PPO. Now, who would want to consider that option?
People who want to join an HMO often receive significant benefits. For one thing, some of the HMOs are offering zero premium options for their drug coverage. And I should add that what I just described earlier, those plans often come with premiums, and those premiums can be anywhere from, you know, a few dollars, maybe up to $60 or $70 a month, depending on how the insurer has structured the benefit. If you join an HMO, many of the HMOs are not charging extra for the drug benefit. You still have to pay a premium to get your Medicare benefits. Some plans still offer, still require a premium. But with an HMO, you may get extra benefits or you may get more total care. But the trade-off is, and a lot of people are not pleased with that and they don't like that style of care, is that they have to abide by the restrictions that the HMO imposes, like referrals for specialty care or staying in the network of doctors, for example.
Mm. These decisions, when it comes to signing up for a Medicare Part D plan, is the decision binding? Can you unenroll?
There will be an open enrollment every year beginning in November 15th through December 31st, I believe, is the open enrollment. So that is the time when somebody will be able to make change.
Okay.
So as the program gets moving, it's like a one-year commitment to a particular plan.
Okay. So after that 1 year, you can move without penalty?
Pretty much. You can find another plan if you like. You'd be able to choose a different HMO if you don't like it and so on. And many people will do that, and many people will sort of stay where they are.
Yeah. Now, as the plans move along, insurers might make, also they might make changes to the plan.
That's a given. What consumer advocates are kind of worried about is that the drug formularies will change. Each plan, each seller has a formulary, which is the list of drugs it will cover. And those formularies are often based on what kind of discounts it can negotiate with suppliers. And those formularies very well may differ from company to company. And the CMS web tool, the Medicare web tool, lets you know what percentage of the top 100 drugs are covered by a particular plan's formulary. So if you can find that page on the web tool, that's kind of a valuable piece of information for you. The problem is that those formularies can change. And while a number of the insurers told me that they didn't anticipate changing them, at least for a while, I think it's a good bet as we move on to the second year of implementation that we'll see some changes. And when that happens, consumers will have to find another plan if they want their drugs covered. If they're within the open enrollment period, if they're outside of the open enrollment period and the formula changes, they have the option of trying to get their doctor to file for an exception and try to override the formulary. And, of course, then the default position is that you can always pay for these drugs on your own.
Mm. And what's the obligation on the part of the insurer? What kind of notification do they have to give you? How timely does it have to be?
I believe they have to give a fair amount of notification. I'm not quite sure. It might be 60 days so that you can begin to adjust to this. And the doctor, of course, always has the option of trying a different drug to see if that will work. And I think that's what the kind of lengthy notification period is supposed to do.
Hmm. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest this afternoon is journalist Trudy Lieberman, director of the Center for Consumer Health Choices at Consumers Union. We're talking this afternoon about Medicare Part D. That's Medicare's new prescription drug benefit. My name is Celeste Quinn, and I invite you to join us this afternoon, listeners, with your questions for Trudy. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. There is a sidebar in the Consumer Reports article on Medicare D, which is in the February 2006 issue. A reporter and an 88-year-old woman, Marie, in Connecticut, shop for a drug plan. And they began with Medicare's online tools. And this is apparently the way to go because the toll-free number is said to be a real pain in the neck. What's the latest? Is that improved at all?
Not that I know of. I think it's still very difficult for people to get through. The best thing to do is to get somebody to help you use the web tool.
Yeah, okay. Well, can you give us an idea of what we'll find there at that tool at the website www.medicare.gov?
Well, the first thing we did was click on Compare Medicare Prescription Drug Plans and just kind of follow the prompts, put in zip codes and birth date and so forth, and came up with a list of plans that were offered in Marie's County, because I was the reporter who worked with Marie.
Okay.
And once we came up with this list, we discussed whether she wanted to join an HMO or buy what is called a standalone plan, and she didn't want an HMO, so that kind of narrowed her choices right off the bat. But that meant she still had a number of plans to choose from, so I asked her then, which one of these do you want to choose? So she chose plans that she had some name recognition with, the Blue Cross Blue Shield plan in Connecticut she'd heard of. She'd heard of AARP. She heard of Aetna because they're located in Connecticut. And then she looked at some plans from Humana, which had very low premiums, and she wanted to look at those. So we got a list together of a number of plans that we could further investigate. And once we did that, we entered all of the drugs, and she only took three drugs, so she really didn't have a very complicated situation. And we entered those drugs into another web tool at the site, and the web tool then combined the copayments, drug prices, deductibles, and premiums for the eight plans that she decided she wanted to look at. And then that told her exactly which plan would be the best one for her. And what we found here is that the plan that had the lowest premium, which in this case was $7.32, turned out to be much more costly than the same company's complete plan, which cost about $55. And that's because the more expensive plan provided some coverage in this donut hole, and Marie's drug expenses were such that she would hit the donut hole. So you can't necessarily judge how good a plan is by the premium. That was the lesson we learned.
Yeah. Also, we've got a couple of listeners ready to talk with us, but I do also want to mention here that one of the things that I thought was most interesting about Marie's story is that I learned that you can't judge a plan by its premium or its name.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Yep. Yep. Okay. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest this afternoon, Trudy Lieberman. We're talking about Medicare's prescription drug benefit. Let's go now to the phones, where we're going to talk with a listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Good morning. I have a woeful tale to tell. I signed up with Humana. And I didn't really want to, but they kept saying, it won't cost you anything, you know. And besides, they say, if I give you our card, and when you go to the hospital, you show them that, and your doctor charges you $15 instead of $20, which I paid from Health Alliance. Well, against my better judgment, I signed up. The next day, I got a notice from Health Alliance that they had canceled me. And I said, oh, I don't want to be canceled because, you know, that's my hospitalization insurance. And they said, well, the government has a law that when you sign up with somebody else, you're not allowed to have your old insurance. You have to take it from the new company. So I've been trying to call the Humana company to tell them I don't want to be in theirs. But in the meantime, there's a Health Alliance that I can come back to them after I cancel this, but I'll have a month when I'm not covered.
Did Health Alliance, you have a Medigap policy from Health Alliance?
I had the insurance.
Right. And then
Carl Care insurance.
Okay. So it sounds like a Medigap plan. And with Humana, you bought a standalone drug plan that only covered drug costs?
I was getting...
Yes?
But evidently, they signed me up for more than that.
Okay. Well, it's true. You can only have one plan. And this is not uncommon where some people have lost other coverage because they did not quite understand what the new plan's limitations were.
Is there help, Trudy, for someone like our listener in terms of at the state level? Is there an advocate out there for folks?
Yes. I would suggest that you contact the State Insurance Counseling Program. The State Insurance Department in Springfield will probably be able to, this is in Illinois, would be able to tell people how to contact a health insurance counselor, and that's what needs to happen.
Okay.
And also the Medicare handbook, if the listener has that handy, also has lists of where to contact people for help.
Okay. And in a second here, I can give folks the Illinois toll-free number for the State Health Insurance Assistance Program.
That would be really helpful because those folks are on the ground and they'll be able to help people like your caller.
Yeah, and every state has counselors that are ready to help. Now, how busy they are, I have no idea with all this.
Well, I think they've been very busy, but my experience is that they give really good advice and it's somebody who will point out your options to you.
Okay. And also, I wonder if in the private sector, if there are, you know, financial advisors or counselors that are now beginning to think, you know, I can really help people and I can make a living, you know, learning about this and I can be on the ground in my community helping folks, of course, you know, for a fee. Is that happening?
I haven't heard of that yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that does begin to happen, but I think I would caution your listeners before spending money on private counselors to try the state insurance health counseling program because it's usually very good and they should be able to help you. And another resource is the Center for Medicare Advocacy in Washington, D.C., and the Medicare Rights Center in New York City, and maybe you can give those numbers as well.
Okay. Those I don't have in front of me at the moment. Perhaps if my producer, Harriet, is listening, she can help us out there. I will now give you the State Health Insurance Assistance Program toll-free number for Illinois. It is 800-548-9034. That's 1-800-548-9034. Let's talk with another listener. This is a listener in Pontiac. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
I work with a senior service program here in Livingston County.
Okay, great.
We have been doing this for months now. We have open houses on Friday, and I think one of the most difficult things as people come in and we work with them on the website is they feel like there's something wrong with them because they don't understand the program. And we have to say, you know, it's very complicated. It's very hard to understand. And I'm concerned that they designed this whole program around Internet, and it's quite difficult with a whole population that is just not Internet savvy and don't use it. And, I mean, it's just been hard to watch people. They're so fearful when they come in, and it's really nice to be able to help them. But I wonder why people have had to go through so much to get on a program like this.
Okay, so local resources as well.
Yeah.
And you're...
Well, the program was designed not to be consumer-friendly. That wasn't the motivation for the plan. The members of Congress wanted to make this a private plan, and when you do that, you make it complicated.
Well, one of the suggestions I have to people is tell your representative what you think of this plan, and many of them have said they will.
Great.
Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Next, we talk with a listener in West Champaign, Line 1. Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
One, I want to say this is a really great program information-wise, and I've been concerned about my parents, you know, trying to figure this whole thing out. Two, this is just a comment. I am totally flabbergasted by the American people accepting such things as this and not demanding a much better a plan along a European model or French model. It's just absurd to me. It's kind of a privatization of Medicare. And point three of a question, okay? There's a lot of ads on TV that if you can't afford your drugs and so forth, call, I won't name the companies, but call this company, call that company. we have a program for you. And it's always followed by people saying, oh, this company helped me, that company helped me. Are those valid? Are those? Is there any substance to that? And I'll just hang up and listen.
Yeah, what do you look for in the ads that
okay,
were deluged
what
by?
You might be referring to are assistance programs of pharmaceutical companies. Many of the pharmaceutical companies have programs for a very low-income people, and I mean very low. They like to promote these programs as public service and that they're doing good works and so forth. And it is true that perhaps some people can get some pharmaceuticals this way. The doctors usually have to fill out some fairly complicated forms. There's income limits. I once interviewed a house painter in Michigan who made $12,000 a year, and he did not qualify for an inhaler from a pharmaceutical company because their income limit was $9,000 a year. So people who want to take advantage of those programs will often run into those kind of requirements. Also, some states, and I don't know about Illinois, but many states have pharmaceutical assistance programs. New York, for example, has a very good program called EPIC, and many of the states do have a similar kind of program that people who, not necessarily on Medicare, but people who have trouble accessing pharmaceuticals can tap into. Again, there are probably income limits as well. So unless you're really, really poor or you just happen to be like right over the line, it may be very difficult to use these programs.
Okay. Trudy, I want to ask you to go back and, you know, you mentioned a couple of other resources, and I said maybe Harriet Williamson, my producer, could look that up for us. Can you run those two things by us one more time?
Okay. Two consumer groups that could be helpful are the Medicare Rights Center
okay.
in New York City.
Medicare Rights Center. Okay.
And I have person that you'll want to try to reach there is a man by the name of Bob Hayes, who's the president. And he is very knowledgeable about this. And if he can't help, he'll refer other people to you, other people at the organization. And the other agency is the Center for Medicare Advocacy in Washington, D.C. And they have been very busy taking calls and complaints from people all across the country who've had trouble dealing with this benefit.
Okay, we'll get some more information to folks on those two organizations coming up. Let's now next go to a listener in Chicago on line four. Hi.
Does your guest have any recommendations for an unemployed, uninsured cancer patient about to undergo a course of chemotherapy and also needing medications for pain management, palliative care?
That's really tough. No, you have no insurance. My suggestion is to talk to the doctor or hospital where you're having this and see if they can suggest any kind of local resources.
Are you familiar with any in Cook County, maybe? Or?
No, I'm afraid I'm not. I take it you're under 65?
Yeah, the person I'm calling, yeah, they are.
Is under 65.
Right.
You might see if Illinois has a program, a drug program, for low-income people who are under 65, and see if there's any kind of assistance there. But this is a problem that people all over the country are having.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Let's talk with another listener. No, we don't have that caller ready to go quite yet. Let me reintroduce our guest. We've got about 5-6 minutes left in this portion of the program. We're talking this afternoon. Our topic is Medicare's prescription drug benefit, Medicare Part D. And our guest is journalist Trudy Lieberman. She's the director of the Center for Consumer Health Choices at Consumers Union. At your website, Trudy, there's a lot of really good information. You want to give us some idea of what's there at your website?
Well, I think we have some questions and answers that people can look at to get some more information about joining a plan. Again, I would like to refer people to the web tool. I know that it is difficult to use, but it does work if you can get somebody to help you go through it. The point was made earlier why people are being sent to this complicated tool when something like three-quarters of all seniors who have never been on the Internet, but that's the way the Congress wanted it and the government wanted it for reasons that we talked about earlier. And so the best advice I can give is to find somebody to help you go through the tool.
Hmm. Questions about Medicare's prescription drug benefit? Give us a call here this afternoon on the Afternoon Magazine, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Let's go back. Go ahead.
We do have another resource that people might consider, particularly if money is really a problem, and that is our Consumer Reports Best Buy Drugs, which is a free resource. And what we do with that resource is to tell people how certain drugs are really equivalent and might be better to buy the not the brand name drug, but maybe an older drug that will do just as well and be a lot less expensive but equally effective. And the best way to find that is to go to www.crbestbuydrugs.org.
Yeah. Is that kind of resource available on the shelf at the library? Because, you know, here again we're talking about, you know, a lot of folks don't have a computer or aren't computer proficient.
It's a web tool, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I suppose what you need to do is have a buddy.
or a grandson or granddaughter who knows how to work the Internet.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to go back to Marie's story. What did she do in the end?
She said she was going to continue to buy drugs in Canada.
Yeah.
That's where she was buying drugs. She was happy with what she was getting. The price was right. She said she could afford it, and she didn't want to go through all this nonsense to buy a drug plan.
Hmm. How many people are doing that?
I don't know. I would guess that a number of people probably are continuing to buy drugs in Canada if they're satisfied with what they're getting and have had no problems. The government tells us that at this point some 3 million people have voluntarily signed up for the benefit. These are people who were not automatically enrolled or in an HMO or whatever. So these would be new people who did not have a drug benefit. There are about 21 million that need to get signed up by May 15th. So I think we'll have to wait and see whether that happens.
Yeah. Now, the folks that are automatically enrolled, they include folks who are on on Medicaid.
That's correct.
Go ahead.
People who are on Medicare and Medicaid have been assigned to a plan by the government, but this is where a lot of the confusion has come in, and those people have had a great deal of trouble accessing their drugs, and many states have had to come in and pay for their drugs.
Yeah. And now, as I understand it, the administration has told insurers now they have to provide an emergency 30-day supply of any drug the beneficiary was previously taking, with seniors charged a very nominal price, $5 per drug. But the states, the pressure again is on the states. They apparently are going to have to collect from the insurers, not the federal government.
Yeah, it's a mess, to put it plainly. It's just hasn't worked very well for this generally low-income population that has a lot of problems to begin with, and then they've had this additional problem. And the question I have in my mind is, are they really going to trust this benefit long-term if they've had this problem right out of the starting gate?
Yeah. You know, I wonder, because everyone is so consumers, we're really unhappy with all of this. I wonder, you know, if the pressure we're going to come to a point where something's got to move.
Well, I think it's going to depend on what politicians hear when they go out to campaign in the election as it comes up this year. I think it's probably safe to say there's not going to be any change in the next several months in the benefit. But as the summer moves on and we have a new election coming up in the fall, this very well could be a flashpoint.
Yeah. This is the Afternoon Magazine. We're going to take one more question from a listener on a cell phone. Line one, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Just a comment. The person who called about the unemployed cancer patient, most hospitals will have a social service department, and I would suggest wherever he was going to have his treatment that they would be able to help him there. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you very much. And let's go over one more time. I wanted to go over the State Health Insurance Assistance Program there. They have counselors in every state and several territories in Illinois. The toll-free number is 800-548-9034. Let me also give the number for Indiana because we have listeners in Indiana. The toll-free number in the Hoosier State, 800-452-4800. And now let me mention here that the Medicare Advocacy Organization, their Washington, D.C. office is area code 202, the number 216-0028. And the Medicare Rights Center in Washington, D.C., 202-589-1316. And in New York, 212-869-3850. And listeners, I know we've talked this afternoon about, you know, not everybody has a computer, not everybody has access, not everybody is computer proficient, but we will put this information and some other information on our website at will.uiuc.edu. Just click on AM and then go to the Afternoon Magazine. And you should be well on your way. And Trudy Lieberman, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon and helping us through this thicket.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Our guest this afternoon has been investigative journalist Trudy Lieberman, director of the Center for Consumer Health Choices at Consumers Union. Her reporting and writing for Consumer Reports focuses on health insurance, health care financing, and health coverage for the elderly. 7 minutes before 2 o'clock Central Time, settlement prices should be in from the Chicago Board of Trade. Here's Todd Gleason.
Thanks much, Celeste. After a down day in the bean pit yesterday, futures bounced back, picked up a couple of cents off their losses yesterday from yesterday, managed to gain about 6 cents in the nearby March. The Novembers were up 5.5 cents. Corn futures nearly mixed to unchanged today. Wheat contract up 2 to 3 cents in the soft red winter wheat in Chicago, and the hard red winter wheat in Kansas City finished the nearby March contract today at 4.5 cents higher, a high there at $3.96.5, the low at $3.90. Settlement price at $3.95.5. They were up 4.5 on the day. July futures $3.99. The high, the low at $91.5. Settlement price at $3.98.75. They were up 5.25 for the day. Soft red winter wheat from the Chicago Board of Trade March contract $3.45.5. The high, the low at $3.40.5. Settled at $44.5. They were up 2.5 cents. May futures up 3 today, $3.56.5 the high, the low at 51.5. Settlement price at $3.55.75 a bushel. They were up 3 cents. July futures, $3.65.5 the high, the low at $3.61. July wheat in Chicago settled $3.65, up 2.5 cents. And the Septembers, $3.75 the high, the low at $3.70.5. Settlement price there, $3.74.5. They finished 2 cents higher on the day. December contract at $3.87, settlement price up 2.25, the high at 87.5, the low at $3.83. From the corn pit nearby March contract, 2.17.25, the high, low at 2.13.75, settlement price at 2.17. They're up a half. May futures 2.27, the high, the low at 2.23.5, settlement price at 2.26.75, up 3/4. July 2.36, the high, the low at 32.75. Settlement price there, $2.35.75. That July corn up 0.75 cents. September futures today, $2.43.5. The high, the low at 40.5. Settlement price at $2.43.25, up 1. And the nearby, new crop December contract, $2.53. The high, the low at 2.50. Settlement price there, $2.52.75. They were up a half. March futures, $2.59. The high, the low at 56. March 07 corn, $2.58.75. Finished the day unchanged. March oats 197 on the high, the low at 89, settlement price at 89.25. They managed to lose 6.5 cents today. And the May futures, 186.75 high, low at 181.5. May oats at 182.75 settlement price. They were down 3. Soy complex now, March beans, 573.5 the high, the low at 65.5. Settlement price there at $5.73. They were up 6. May futures, 585 the high, the low at 576.5. Settlement at 584.5, up 6.5. And July contract, 595 the high, the low at 86.5. Settlement price at 594.75. They were up 6.25. August futures, 597 the high, the low at 590. Settlement price at 597, up 6 cents. And September's, 599 the high, the low at 594. Settlement price at 599. They were up 7. November soybeans, 607 the high, the low at 598.5. Managed to settle above $6 at 606. They were up 5.5 cents on the day. And January futures, 612 the high, the low at 606. Settlement price at 611.5, a penny and a half higher. Bean meal March futures, nearby contracts, 180.50 the high, the low at 177.80. Settlement price at 180.30. They were up $1.90. The May bean meal, 181.90 on the settlement price, up 150. The high at 82.30. The low at 179.80. March bean oil down a penny today, 21.60 the high, the low at 21.21. Settlement price at 21.51. May bean oil off a penny as well, 21.95 the high, the low at 21.59. Settlement price at 21.88. Once again, that May contract down a penny. I'm Todd Gleason. Those are the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade.
And now I'm Celeste Quinn, and I'm going to bring you the numbers for the livestock contracts that we are interested here at AM 580. It looks like it was a mixed day today on the Merck.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Okay, let's begin with feeder cattle. January feeder cattle, the high today, 113.30, the low 113.15, the settlement 113.25, that down 7.5. March 112.05, the high 111.25, the low, the settlement 111.47.5, that up 7.5. April 112.60, the high 111.90, the low 112.17.5, the settlement that unchanged. February live cattle 95.30, the high 94.60, the low 94.95, the settlement that up a nickel. April 93.70, the high 92.80, the low 93.07.5, the settlement that down 22.5. February lean hogs 57.35, the high 56.90, the low, the settlement 57.17.5, that down 17.5. April lean hogs 62.17.5, the high 61.50, the low, the settlement 61.92.5, that up 17.5. May 66.25, the high, the low 65.15, the settlement 66.12.5, that up 80. June lean hogs 68.80, the high, the low 68.05, the settlement 68.67 and a half.